Hello, and welcome to the Divorce Woman's Guide podcast, where we talk about the things us divorcees are thinking, but not always talking about, as we turn our divorce into the best gift you've ever been given. And I do so with a little bit of sass and a whole lot of class. I am your host, Wendy Sterling, founder of The Divorce Rehab. I am here to support you in this transition phase of your life so you can start your new, best chapter on your own terms. After all, that's what I did after my own divorce. And now it is my mission to change the conversation around divorce and help you see why your divorce, like mine, was the best gift you ever received. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. How are you today? I hope all is well. And I am really happy that you've decided to tune in to today's episode because I am here with Sarah Chevier. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hello, Wendy. I'm so happy and excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Me too. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. And you guys, we are going to talk about the impact that divorce has on women's finances. It is one of what I think it is one of the scariest realities when you go through divorce. And if you were anything like I was, it is also something that a lot of women do not have comfort level, a strong comfort level with, perhaps a strong knowledge base around their finances or financial terms. I know that that was the scariest part of my divorce, was really having to confront what I didn't know. And so I'm very excited that Sarah is here to share her wisdom with you today. And let me share a little bit about Sarah with you all. So Sarah is an intuitive financial coach who helps single and divorced professional women who are struggling to manage their finances and feel stuck trading time for money by teaching them how money works so they can dream again and live their lives on their own terms without depending on a man. Her clients are achieving a level of financial success that they didn't even know or feel was possible. Sarah's methods are not the typical financial advisors. What she teaches and the way she teaches are considered non-traditional, unorthodox, and revolutionary. So, Sarah, I'm really looking forward to diving in with you. That last sentence was very mic drop and tease. It was a tease.
Hey, I'm so ready about it. Absolutely.
Yes. And so what I always ask my guests when they come onto my show is, what inspired you to do the work that you do today?
Well, I'm going to have to start with what happened to me back in 2008. In 2008, practically, it happens what, you know, it has happened in this pandemic, which is that the rug was pulled from under me and I was not prepared for it. I didn't understand what was happening. I didn't understand how I lost my job. I was in the financial industry during that time. I've been in the financial industry for over 17 years. But again, I was not expecting that. And the problem with that is that I didn't have a plan B. Mm-hmm. Because I was not prepared. I thought that I was going to be riding that train for the rest of my life with no issues. And I needed to do something, and that I needed to be prepared for the unexpected. And I think that is what actually take me to that journey, finding out how to prepare. And I fell into the under the wings of amazing mentors. That's how I actually fell into the coaching industry. And I realized that this is a big industry, and that how amazing it was, because seeing how I was able to go through breakthroughs and how it has helped me to change my life, I felt called to do the same. But the interesting thing is that at that time, my niche was not about finances. It was about business, how to help women start business online. But I felt that I was very spread out, and I wanted to niche out. And I always was wondering, what can I do? And that's when I decided, or that I realized, is right under my nose. You know, I've been in the financial industry for right. so long, and I see all these women that are struggling financially. They want to start other businesses, which is great. But at the same time, if they don't understand the basic concepts of wealth and they don't understand how money works, how they are going to be successful. Yes, they might be successful by making money in their business, but if they don't know how to manage their business, then that money is going to go away. Or if they don't use the money wisely and save it for their financial future when they don't want to or they can't work anymore, then they're going to be in the same situation that they were when they started. So that's how the financial babe started.
I love it. And I, you know, one of the things that you said that I think a lot of us don't realize, because it was the same thing, right? It was, I was in corporate, I was doing this job for 20 years and I knew I wanted to do something different. And, you know, my new career now was basically staring me in the face too. And so I love that you had the courage to switch gears and to really hone in on something that you felt passionate about and something that you knew was so needed in this community. And so I would really love for you to share, because, you know, so many times we hear that, you know, there's a lot of fears around money, women with money. We all have, you know, we've talked about this too, money stories. So what are some of the most common fears that you hear your clients share? And how is it that you guide them to overcome that?
So I would start with the fear of, I would like to laugh about this one, but a lot of times is recognizing, I think the first step is recognizing that you don't know everything about money. And the reason a lot of women, they say, I am okay financially, or I don't have any money problems, is because of the fear of feeling inadequate. Inadequate, that they don't understand what's going on, that they don't know about money concepts. And it's kind of like denial in a way, right? But it's more the fear of feeling inadequate. But when we recognize, and this is the amazing part about seeing my clients having breakthroughs, is that when they recognize that, hey, I don't know everything and I don't need to know everything, but as long as I'm open to learn, as long as I'm open to understand, then I know that there's going to be a benefit for me and my financial future. So I would say I would start with that one. The second one is a lot of women, they're always saying that they don't have enough money. And that could be true. But at the same time, it could be that the lack of knowing how to manage your money correctly. Because I have clients that make over six figures or multiple six figures, and they still don't have enough money. And I have clients that are in the $50,000-$60,000 and they're managing their money okay. So again, it is not about the amount of money that you're making a lot of times, but it's about what you do with your money. Where are your priorities? So for example, I have a freebie actually, it's called the Pie Method, where I not only teach women how to manage their finances, but I help them to understand where their priorities are. Because a lot of times we don't understand that. And nothing wrong with having priorities. We all do. You know what? Maybe for you, Wendy, maybe for you, your priorities are your kids. For another person, their priority is travel, right? So they rather spend more money in travel than spending more money in the place where they live. But the important thing is that understand that. Where are the priorities? And then if they need to focus on more money-making activities so they can embrace those priorities a lot more, but at the same time, being conscious about thinking about their future. Because unfortunately, again, unexpected things happen. And we are going to age at some point, and we are going to need at some point a safety net, something that is going to protect us from the future, you know, what we will need. I don't want to say the word retirement, which is probably what I want to say, but a lot of people, they don't want to retire. They don't think, well, I'm never going to retire. I don't plan on retire. But again, it's not a matter if you want to retire or not. It's a matter of, if do you want to achieve financial freedom, or do you want to be able to decide when you want to work, when you don't want to work? You know, it's about choices. What are the choices that you want to have? So that's where I am.
I love that. I really do. And I love the frame of it's about the choices. And in order to make those choices, you have to be educated and informed, which can be intimidating. It can feel overwhelming. So how do you break it down? You say in your bio about how, you know, the way that you teach your clients is tends to be non-traditional. So how do you teach a subject that to most women feels unteachable?
So that is the reason, because the way the government, the banks, financial advisors, the way they have created this industry and the vocabulary that they use is, it could be pretty intimidating and then boring also. Not only that, but the industry doesn't really understand the challenges that as women, we also have. They're very different than men, very different. And unfortunately, this industry, the financial industry, is mostly geared towards men. So we have different needs. And the reason they have created all of this concept and make this so difficult is because they don't want you to manage your money. They want you to for you to give them your money, and then they take care of it, right? So what I'm doing is I'm breaking that out. I'm eliminating the bank. You know, I'm basically eliminating the middleman, and I'm empowering women, and I'm making these concepts as simple as possible that even an 8-year-old can understand. So you can actually embrace finances, enjoy it. Because again, a lot of times, not only feels intimidating, but they feel like, oh, I don't like numbers, or I don't like money. I don't like to talk about money. There's so many taboos about that too. That's a whole new another right. topic. So I lower all those taboos. I make this as simple as possible, so you can actually enjoy taking charge of your finances and feel empowered and be able to, when you sit down with your girlfriends, you're not only, you know, sitting down to talk about guys or sex or, you know, their kids or whatever, you can actually talk about money too. Like, where are you putting your money? What are you doing with your money, etc.
Yeah. And I'm sure some people are going, really? Am I really going to get there? How am I going to get there? So let me ask you this. What is one step that our listeners can start taking today if they are in that place of denial or panic, or, you know, they're like, well, I have a budget, I'm good. That's great. And that's not everything. So what are some tips that you can share, or some steps that people can start taking right now to really own their financial future and the success of it?
Well, it's a matter of making an assessment in their life. Are there where they're supposed to be, or where they thought that they will be at their stage where they are? You know, like if 20 years ago, they thought that they were going to be in plan C, in plan Z as in zebra, and they're not there, then what is happening? Why they're not there? So they have to make, you know, like a self-assessment on why they're not there. And, you know, it's not just about creating a budget. Finances has a lot more to do. There's a lot more to do with finances. So for example, do you have the proper protection for you and your family? Do you even understand what that means? If you have a business, if you are a female entrepreneur, is your business protected? Do you have an exit strategy? If you say that you have a budget, is that budget really working for you? Is it getting you, is your money growing? Where are you putting your money? Are you putting your money in places that money is actually working for you as well? Because a lot of times we have no problem working for our money. You know, like most of the women that I work with, they're hustlers. You know, they don't have any issues working and working hard. But are you putting your money in the places that now you're not only working for your money, but now money is working for you? Exactly. So all of that are questions. And I have multiple assessments to help women become more conscious about that. Because it is not about what you know. It is about what you don't know that you don't know.
I love that. It's about what you don't know and you don't know.
Exactly.
I love that. I've never heard that before. And it's so true. And, you know, and I hear so many times, I mean, women who go through divorce, you know, a lot of times I hear this all the time. I can't afford it. Right. I can't afford it. Is that just your go-to line because the dollar amount looks scary, or is it really truly like, do you truly know whether you can or can't? Because what I always say is that we make if you're not making conscious choices about where it is that you are putting your money, how you're spending your money, then you're always going to come from a lens of, I can't afford, right? It's the same thing. I kind of relate it to like when people say, oh my God, I don't have time. There's not enough time in the day. Well, yes, there is. Time is actually not real. Time is something we've created, and you have control over your own time, just like you have control over your money, right? Money is abundant, just like time is abundant. So what would you say to people who have a money story around, you know, I can't afford?
So when somebody tell me I can't afford it, what in reality they're saying is, this is not a priority for me. I don't understand it, or it's not as valuable, or it's not a priority for me. Why do I say that? Well, I'm going to give you an example.
Over your own time.
I have clients that I talk to that they owe money to the IRS. They owe taxes and they haven't paid in years. But when they get a letter from the IRS saying, what they're saying is, well, I cannot afford it. I cannot afford to pay. But when they get a letter from the IRS saying, we are going to take we're going to freeze your bank account, we are going to take your paycheck, trust me, that money appears like in seconds, right? Why? Because now that becomes a priority. That is like, oh my gosh, I don't want them to take my paycheck. I don't want them to take my bank account, right? If they take my bank account, or if they take my paycheck, how I'm going to survive, or I'm going to lose my job, or all of this. Now that becomes a priority. Therefore, the money appears. So it is not about us. It's not about saying, I can't afford it. If it's important for you, you're going to ask yourself, how can I afford it? And then the how is going to come. So again, I don't believe that somebody cannot really afford it. It's about the priorities, where their priorities are.
Yeah. And I think that that's really important. And a lot of that too, right? You know, as the topic of our conversation is really about the impact divorce has, is, you know, divorce is also very expensive. And what I always say is that, you know, it's going to cost you a lot more later if you don't invest in the right team, if you don't invest in having the right people. And I actually believe the first person that you should be consulting is a financial expert, because that is the biggest piece, the biggest impact that is felt when you go through this process. So what have you seen as an impact on clients who, you know, where things cost them more later versus had they planned, you know, more strategically upfront?
So let's talk about divorce. Let's talk about and finances, right? Prior to divorce, the ideal would be that both adults are involved in the finances, and that they are both working towards the greater good of each other. Unfortunately, as women, because of the way that we have, you know, we have been conditioned, we rather have the man take care of the finances. The problem with that is that in my experience and what I have seen with a lot of women is that they get the worst end of the stick, right? The shorter end of the stick when it comes to divorce. Yeah. Because now their husband either has hidden the money, or maybe he has spent it, or maybe he has said everything is fine, everything is fine. And then when something happened, you realize, oh, not everything was fine. And statistically speaking, when women get divorced, they lose between 20 to 80% of the household income. And then everything has to be split 50-50, including the debt. How fair is that, right? Yeah. So let's say that you guys have $50,000 in debt, in credit card debt, and now $25,000 you have to pay, and he has to pay $25,000 when he makes six figures and you only make $30,000, right? So all of these things have to be talked about even prior to divorce. But if for some reason it has happened, now you are in the middle of divorce, yes, your priority is to take care of yourself. You have to think about finances and about divorce as a business transaction, like marriage. What marriage is a business transaction, divorce is exactly the same. You have to take your emotions out and you have to be reasonable, but you have to make sure that everything that is done is split fairly based on your income. A lot of women, they, for example, I have a client that his wife was used to a $30,000 lifestyle. So she wanted $35,000 in alimony. But now with the divorce and everything is splitting, he was not going to have the same amount of money, but she was fighting it. So they had spent over $200,000 in this divorce because she wanted more money and she wanted to find that money. And now it ended up to be only $12,000. So she could have used all that $200,000 that was spent in attorneys. She could have used it. I think he offered her $20,000 instead of $35,000, and now it's down to $12,000. So again, she could have used that money for herself and take care of herself and the kids than spend it in attorneys. So we have to be reasonable, but we have to take the emotions out, right? Because when we get our emotions out in the process, it's not going to help anyone, and especially you. You are going to be the one that is going to lose the most. Sorry.
Yeah, and it's totally true. I mean, that again, that's why I always say, like, you need a team of people, right? Like,
yes.
Part of my role when I work with my clients one-on-one is helping to let me be the emotional sounding board. Let's take it out. And then let's come from a rational place where you're making the best business. As you said, it's a business transaction, making the best business decision for you, for your future, for your kids' future. You know, I say the same thing, like the amount of money that was spent on attorney's fees could have gone to a college fund, right?
Yeah.
You know, you could have invested that money, you know, more strategically. And
correct. And sorry to interrupt you, Wendy,
because
I don't want to forget this little part.
Yes.
So one thing that I noticed that women do when they get divorced is that I want the house. I want the house because this is where my children grew up, but then they cannot afford it. And this is an issue. And again, this is about being strategic. You have to look at the actual assets in the relationship. Yeah. You know, are there any retirement accounts? What are the investments? Those are the things that you want to have a hand on if it's possible. And there are a few things. I forgot the name right now, but there's a document where you can actually have a hold on those assets when you are getting divorced. So again, like you mentioned, it's important to sit down with a financial coach, somebody that can guide you on what are the things that you need to look on looking at, you know, like at your current income now or your actual income at, you know, after or during the divorce. And then this, what is it that you need to do in order to get everything in place so you can actually secure your financial future? since now everything has changed.
Yep. It's a key point. And I do say that.
Where you can actually have a hold on those.
Is letting my clients know that sometimes the house is not something you should be fighting for. And I always say, you know, home is where you are. Home is what you create regardless of the space. Space is just that. It's a physical space. Home is emotional. It's the connection that you get to create with your children. And, you know, it's something that gets to be discussed and really, you know, it's another part of mourning, right? It's another part of the grief process as you're going through your divorce. But again, you know, what I'm hearing from what you're sharing with the audience today, Sarah, is that it's really important for everybody listening to make sure that they are consulting with somebody who has their best interests in mind, who can see, right? In divorce, you have blinders on and you need the person who can see full 360 of your life and to take the emotion out of it to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, I went through divorce and I remember how hard it was. And your emotions are all over the place. You don't even know what to do. And even if you are the one that wants to get divorced, you feel like somebody died, but that person's still alive. But you know, like you feel like something died. And that is the deep emotion. And as you know, one of the highest amount or the highest pain of grief are when somebody die. And the second one is always divorce because it's almost the same feeling. It's almost the same pain.
Yep, it is. It's if not more. I say that it's more because you're mourning multiple people, right? Multiple areas of your life that you know you're grieving through. So, Sarah, before we sign off, I would love for you to just share one last tidbit of wisdom to leave our audience with today.
So, one of my favorite is the highest pain of grief are when somebody die. And the second one is always divorce because it's almost the same feeling. It's almost the same pain.
Yep, it is. It's if not more, I say that it's more because you're mourning multiple people, right? Multiple areas of your life that you know you're grieving through. So, Sarah, before we sign off, I would love for you to just share one last tidbit of wisdom to leave our audience with today.
So one of my favorite is delay gratification and embrace anticipation. So, and the reason for that, and again, when it comes to divorce, you want to delay gratification. A lot of times we, you know, like when we are going through a pain like this, we want to have external things fulfill us. Right. So we start spending a lot of money. We start like, oh, you know, I'm going to spend in this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And again, you have to take those emotions out and embrace anticipation. And actually, it's a matter of shifting the emotions. So instead of focusing on your current circumstances, shift the emotions to the potential, to what's your future look like. Now that I'm divorced, who am I? Who I want to be? Where I want to end up? So when you shift that and you delay the gratification and embrace the anticipation, you're going to come out a lot better than if you would have focused on your current circumstances.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love that so much because I feel like social media has created the need for instant gratification. And in divorce, that is the last thing you want, especially because you can't go back and change anything once it's done and it's signed. So, Sarah, that is amazing wisdom, such a great phrase. I hope you guys wrote that down or go back and hit rewind and write that quote down. That is something that you guys get to put on a post-it note front and center wherever it is that you are in your divorce process. Sarah, thank you for joining me. And I would love for you to share with our audience today. I know you have a free gift. And then how else can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have given you the 90-day financial blueprint. So this is kind of like a 12-step divided in three stages where you can see where you are at and where you need to take from what stage, depending on what stage you are financially, you take it from there in order to achieve financial freedom. And you can always find me on financebabe.com, Sarah Chevier on Instagram, financebabe.net, in Facebook. Again, I'm everywhere. So you, I'm on LinkedIn too, as Sarah Chevier.
Yes. And all of this is going to be in the comments of the podcast so you guys can access all of that information very easily. Sarah, thank you for being my guest today. It was an honor to have you here. And I absolutely adore you. And I thank you for the work that you're doing and helping so many amazing women.
My pleasure. I hope this is not the only time that we get to share together about finances and divorce. Divorced women are in my heart and I can understand the struggles that they can have. And I'm definitely here to help them financially whenever they want to. So, and thank you so much, Wendy, for giving me the opportunity to be here as well.
Of course, it's my pleasure. And you guys, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. As you know, with every episode, I always strive to provide you guys with information, even if it's just the smallest little bit or nugget, to help you navigate wherever it is that you guys are in your divorce process. Thank you again for tuning in today, and I will see you guys in next week's episode. Sending you all tons of love, light, and joy. Mwah. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, please share this episode with someone you know or spread the word on social media. This is how I reach more divorcees around the world and provide them with the support they need to create their next best life. And I would also love to continue the conversation with you. So please friend me on Facebook, join my private Facebook group, The Divorce Rehab, and follow me on Instagram at Divorce Rehab with Wendy. I'll see you next time.